You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fassara. Joe, we got a whole bunch of injury updates to go over, so let's start ticking them off. What's the latest with Christian Yelich? It seems like he's headed the right direction.
Yeah, he started his rehab assignment yesterday and played in Jupiter. Has at least two more left with the Hammerheads, and I fully anticipate he's eligible to come off, I think, tomorrow in Washington, but that's not going to happen, and it doesn't look like Washington's going to happen at all. But I'm anticipating Thursday in San Francisco. Christian should be ready to go by then.
What's the expectation of what he'll be able to do when he gets back? And I mean, mostly performance-wise, because he was not off to a great start and has missed a good amount of time. Is there any thought that maybe he might be a little slow to get going, or is that why he's going to take more than just a couple of days on a rehab assignment?
Well, you know, it's there, obviously, you know, because his swing, that back was clearly bothering him. He just didn't look himself the last couple of days before he went on the DL with the back. And I think they're wanting him, you know, he started the year off hitting second behind Gordon. They kind of envisioned two guys getting on base with good speed. I think they thought Yelich got maybe a little more passive in that number two hole than they really wanted him to be, and didn't think he was, like, looking to drive the ball as much. I anticipate Matthew, when he comes back, hitting about fifth. And that's going to be an interesting spot because I think they want to kind of get him in the point of his career to start thinking of being a little bit less of that table setter and a little bit more of a run producer and, you know, kind of see if that power will grow and those doubles and then using the gaps a little more. So, you know, Prado provides a really good alternative to hit second, and he has done a great job since Yelich went down hitting there. So I think that's going to be kind of a way to see if they could jumpstart Yelich as well.
There's also a theory, and look, I'm not a huge believer in the whole idea of protection broadly anyway, but there's also a theory that the best protection behind a power hitter is actually a high average hitter because, you know, if you can – what really worries you if you put guys on is somebody getting a base hit and keeping a rally going rather than somebody who maybe hits a home run behind him. Do you think that's part of the idea here is that to the extent there is such a thing as protection, that protection is a guy who – hits singles and doubles, maybe more than a guy who hits home runs, but maybe doesn't get on base?
Yeah, there's some merit to that, absolutely. You know, when you were lining up, you know, the way they've been going lately with Stanton, Ozuna, Morse, you have three guys who strike out a lot. You know, big power in all three of them, but also guys are going to strike out a lot. So if you, you know, I don't see Yelich hitting cleanup, and they're certainly not thinking of moving Stanton from three to four. But, you know, there's something to be said, you know, and you also have a left-handed bat that could go in there. And as you say, a guy who could do enough to get on base, and whether it's the base hit, draw a walk, or, you know, just kind of keep the line moving, I think they think that will be an interesting dynamic as well as lengthening the lineup. But, yeah, I see a lot of value and a lot of merit to what you just said.
Move on down the injury report. It also sounds like there's encouraging news with Henderson Alvarez. How far away is he?
He seems to be the homestand. You know, they're starting 10 games on the road in two coasts, Washington, San Fran, and then L.A. And it looks like when they get home, they've been playing the Braves. The 17th is the day to kind of circle. If you're a Marlins fan and Henderson Alvarez, he should be starting some rehab assignments. They haven't officially said when, but I think he could be seeing game action on Thursday of this week and give him about two rehab assignments, and he might be ready to come back and help the team mid-month.
And there was some worry about Matt Latos, but he's totally good to go. He'll make his next start, no worries?
Well, good to go. I don't know if we can say no worries. You know, that's an interesting injury he got. You know, just swinging the back in and out of the batter's box, gets a single to right, gets the first base, comes right out of the game with what they call the hamstring. And it's kind of like, I'm not even sure it's exactly that. It's kind of like behind that knee on the he hasn't been moving around great anyway. He had the left knee injury last season with Cincinnati. So, you know, he hadn't been pitching great. He was making a little bit of strides, but it's going to be real curious to see, you know, how he performs. I mean, he's a proud veteran who doesn't like to miss time. and he kind of pushed the envelope to be back. You know, he's had a bullpen session or so and some flat ground. So they're taking his word that he's ready to go, but that's clearly a start to monitor.
Performance-wise, what do you and what does the club make of Latos's last three starts? I mean, it's better results than he was getting earlier, but still maybe not exactly the guy they thought they were getting two or three runs in five or six innings as opposed to, you know, not getting out of the first or not getting it past the fourth. What do they see when they look at these last three starts? Do they see good news or bad news?
Well, the two starts ago against Nationals, he gave two runs in his I think the sixth and the third, his season high. He threw very well that day. The Marlins went on and won that game. He was matched, against Zimmerman that night, and did really well. And it looked like he was going to carry that over. Then he gave a two-run homer to Kadire in the first inning of his next start against the Mets, and you know had three runs in five innings. It looked like he was going to come back out for the sixth, and then he comes out of the game with the hamstring. So kind of took a little bit of a step backwards rather than, you know, kept pushing forward. But overall, I mean, there's improvement, but not, you know, the steady type that they certainly thought they were getting, a clear top of the rotation guy. But he seems more of a guy right now who's still trying to find it physically and getting any type of consistency.
Elsewhere in that rotation, I actually had a note, and we didn't get to it last week. I wanted to ask you about Jared Cosart, who was not allowing runs, but his peripherals weren't really that good. The strikeout to walk was not that encouraging. Last time out, he struck out some guys, but also gave up some runs. How sustainable do you think this low ERA is without picking up the K rate, or do you think maybe he does pick up the strikeout rate? Just kind of what do you expect to see from Cosart going forward?
There always seems to be this kind of that moment doing just well enough to kind of have it go south on him. I mean, he's thrown the ball really well. You know, the changeup has come a long way, and that's a pitch that kind of didn't exist last year. The breaking ball is really good. He's got stuff to throw to left-handers and right-handers right now. Fastball is a really, really good pitch for him with a lot of movement. So he'll give up a strikeout for a ground ball and, you know, kind of, you know, save some pitches. So all that stuff is encouraging. He looks like he could get a strikeout when he needs it, Matthew, but he loses the strike zone very quickly, and that's what happened to him against Philly. He gives up the run to make it 1-1 in the fifth inning, and then he comes out in the sixth. In the bottom of the fifth, his team gets him a run to give him that lead. He has a two-strike count on Ruff and then hits him. And then he just starts throwing fastballs right down the middle of the plate to Howard, and he clobbers one into the gap for a triple. And then he elevates the fastball to Sizemore. He gets a single to left, and his day's over. And it's just like, what just happened? You know, he was throwing really well, and in the span of three batters, and going from a two-strike count to coming out of the game and being on the losing side instead of preserving and getting that shutdown. So I think in his development, there's still kind of that, you know, pitching to the game. You know, your team gets you that lead, they'll get through that last inning, and didn't do that so well against the Phillies, but, you know, overall he's been pretty consistent. There's a lot to be encouraged about. I just have to say it's that consistency with the strike zone and just, you know, not losing it as quickly as he's done a little bit, you know, since they got him.
Is that a concentration thing, a mechanical thing? What happens there?
Yeah, that's a good point. He was probably going to look and see mechanically. Yeah, there are some things he has to do with his delivery. See, when he came over from Houston, he had a little bit more of trouble throwing strikes. Chuck Hernandez, who, when he got drafted by the Phillies, he was with the Phillies at the time, and Chuck has a very good rapport with him and kind of, you know, saw something and just kind of kept him, you know, closed him up a little bit in his delivery. And from time to time, he does slip out of it. So, you know, it could be he is a high-energy type guy. He is a kind of an emotional guy in the mound. He doesn't like to give up hits at all. You know, some guys, they recognize you're going to give hits up. This guy, it might let it get to him for a batter or two, and next thing you know, he's in trouble. But, you know, to be the type of pitcher he's going to need to be and what they think he can be, he's going to have to lock it down because, as you know, those second, third times through, that determines, you know, where you stand in terms of the elite or, you know, when you're playing a lot of, you know, well-pitched games in the National League East. You can't really have, you know, that – you get through that sixth inning and hold it at 2-1, even if he comes out of the game, they have their bullpen set up and they're looking at, you know, try to hold on for a one-run lead, or they add on. You know, so, you know, he's going to have to do his part, and that's part of the maturation process that Ozark's going through as well.
One last thing, and it kind of follows on all of this. The Marlins are getting the third fewest innings per start in the National League. Their bullpen's thrown the second most innings. Even when Alvarez comes back, presumably they're not exactly going to push him to the wall in his first few starts. He's going to be a guy who probably isn't going deep into games for a little while. How much of a concern is it right now, the strain that bullpen is having to carry?
Yeah, it's a big one. You know, that's why this whole, you know, they did a really good job recovering and getting back into this thing, not letting the season slip away. And they still got a couple of weeks of treading water. I mean, they gotta do, you know, these starters, the David Phelps, the Tom Kohlers, are going to have to go as deep as they can. And, you know, Cozart's going to have to come up big. He can't be out of the game in 5-plus. And, yeah, they got to get Alvarez. And that's why you're encouraged, if you're a Marlins fan, with Alvarez and then Jose a month from now, assuming, you know, you're going to have, you know, two guys, your best two starters are going to be joining you. So, you know, it's still a process of, you know, getting those starters deep enough, and Latos is going to have to do his part too, you know, and take that strain off the bullpen. Otherwise, we're going to see Justin Nicolino up from AAA, Jose Urena from AAA. You're going to see, you know, some long relievers probably going on the DL. You know, it's kind of, you know how it works. You know, eventually it breaks. It can't, you know, you need your starters to go seven as often as possible to avoid that stress. And, you know, that's still a process that they're kind of feeling their way through right now.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.